Today's daf is Becharos daf chaf. We left off in daf yud tesav and beis. We started the third perek yesterday of Maseches Becharos. The Mishnah had said that if you buy an animal from a guy, so the rule is very simple. If you bought an animal from a guy in a way that you know that it could not have had a baby before, so then obviously the firstborn male is going to be a Bechar. If you bought an animal from a guy and you know that it for sure did have a baby before, then obviously you don't have to worry about any Bechar issues. The issue is, what if it's a Suffolk? You're not sure, and you're not allowed to just believe the guy for whatever he tells you, so you're not sure whether the animal had a baby before or not. So when it's a Suffolk, the halacha is you wait till it develops a mum and you get to keep it. You don't have to give it to the Kohen. So the Mishnah gave specific ages where we can assume that once it's an animal has reached that age, or that prior to reaching a certain age, it definitely didn't have a previous baby. It definitely didn't have previous offspring, and that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. So in those situations, when it's below certain ages, by a goat, it's bas shenasa, a rachel bas shtayim, a part of a chamar benos shalosh. So if it's prior to those ages, you have every right to assume that the animal never had a baby before, and then therefore the offspring will definitely go to a Kohen. But it sounds like after that, so it's going to be a Suffolk. After that, since it's possible that it did have a baby, so it's going to be treated like a Suffolk. So the Gemara asked, well, why would you treat it like a Suffolk? Most of the animals of these kinds do have a baby within those time frames. So if you follow majority, if you go basarov, so it should be vadai that after those ages it already had a baby, and you shouldn't treat it like a suffix. You should definitely be able to keep any animals for yourself. So the Gemara had suggested maybe Rabbi Yishmael, who assumes that after those ages it has a din of a suffix, assumes like Rabbi Meir throughout Shas, where Rabbi Meir is always choshish lemiyuta, where he's always worried about even a minority, even though generally speaking we follow majority. Rabbi Meir is choshish and he worries about even the minority. So the Gemara said, no, maybe we're even going like maybe Rabbi Shmuel is even assuming like the Rabbanan, that we always follow a rov. When do we follow a rov though? That's only when it's a ruba di isa kaman. That's when it's a rov that you can count. You have 10 stores, 9 of them sell kosher meat, 1 of them sells trefa meat, so you can count. It's directly in front of you. It's a very discernible rov. But a ruba di lesa kaman, when it's a rov that's not right in front of you, so then maybe the Rabbanan, maybe even the Rabbanan would say that you have to be choshish lemiyuta. When it's a rove, that's just a rove in how things work, but it's not something that's discernible and something that you can count. So like this rove over here, that rove of these kinds of animals have a baby within their first year. Well, we never took a poll. We're not sitting there counting all the animals in the world at this age. So that kind of rove, which as I mentioned yesterday, we normally refer to as chazaka, Ruba de Lesa Kaman is Chazaka, that's the way things work. So maybe even the Rabbanan would agree they have to be Choshesh for the Miut. So the Gemara had said, no, we know that even the Rabbanan hold, even by a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, even by a Rove that is not clearly discernible, that you're still going to follow the Rove. The Gemara had said, we'll just read that part inside again, about 5 lines before the lines get wide. Va'kata Nuktana, what about a case where you have a young boy or a young girl, deruba de leise kaman, where the issue that we're going to discuss about the young boy and young girl happens to be a rove that's not right in front of us, the ka'azi rabban and basaruba, and the rabbanan still are willing to follow the rove. Titnan, where do we find such a case? We have a Mishnah. Katun ketana lucholtzin v'lom liyav min de Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds a child, boy or girl, cannot do chalitza, cannot participate in the chalitza proceedings or yibum. Amru lo, so the Chacham said to Rav Meir, Yafa Marta Shein Choltzin, I understand very well that they cannot do chalitza, because ish kasav beparsha, it says the term ish when it describes the male role in chalitza, umakshin and ish al ish, and whatever halachas apply to the boy, apply to the girl in chalitza. So I understand, just like the boy needs to be an adult, the girl needs to be an adult. But matamein miyavmin, but why is it that a child can't participate in yibum? So Amr Lahem, he responds, Katan shema yimatzei sris, Ktana shemati matzei eilinis, v'nimtzu pogan be'erva. The reason that they can't participate in yibum is that if the katan grows up and it turns out that he never develops physically, it turns out that he's a sris, that he's unable to have children, or an eilinis, a girl that's a katana, grows up and it turns out that she never develops and she remains an eilinis, she's unable to have children, it would turn out that her first marriage was an invalid marriage in the first place, and therefore there was this is not an act of Yibum because you're sleeping with your brother's wife when there's no mitzvah of Yibum. There's only a mitzvah of Yibum if she's not an islandess. So that would be a terrible thing. So that's why Rabbi Meir says, I can't allow Yibum. So why do the Rabbanan allow Yibum with a Katan or a Katana? For Rabbanan, Zil Basar, Rav Katanim, Lav Srisan, Ninu. Zil Basar, Rav Katanos, Lav Islandus, Ninu. They say, well, majority of people don't turn out to be a Sris or an Islandus, so you can follow a majority. Now, what kind of majority is that? We don't take a poll of all Katanim and track them. No, it's a majority of just, that's normally the way things work. It's a Ruba de Lese Kaman. And nevertheless, you see that the Rabbanan, by a Ruba de Lese Kaman, still follow the Rov, they're not Choshesh for a Miut. So the Gemara has to backtrack and say, Alam Rav, Mechavarta Rabbi Shmuel, Krab Meir Srilei, Techayish Lemiuta. So maybe, yeah, we have to go back and say that the Rabbanon, that Rabbi Shmuel actually holds like Rabbi Meir, who's Choshesh Lemiut, but Enochinami. According to the Rabbanon, once the animal is past a certain age, you can assume Vadai, it had offspring, and therefore the future offspring would definitely not go to the Kohen. And would definitely not have any Kedusha whatsoever. Because Rabbi Shmuel, the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, is only within the understanding of Rav Meir. So a couple of things over here. First of all, what is the difference between Ruba de Leisei Kaman and Ruba de Isa Kaman? The Pasuk in the Torah says, Achar Rav Lahatos Ushfalo Rov. What's the Svara? What's the logic to assume that there's a difference between a discernible Rov and a non-discernible Rov? So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Ebn Ezra Chelpei Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, where he says that the difference is as follows. That a Rov that's right in front of us is much stronger because it's clear that it is a rov. The fact that that's a majority is evident to us. You just look at the 10 stores and you see the majority right there. As opposed to a rov that's not right in front of us, for all we know, that could change over time. I mean, you might have a city where, for whatever reason, there's some epidemic and most of the girls turn out to be islandess. You have no idea. I mean, things can change at any time. So, for instance, rov katanos, not being an islandess, like we said, it's not lefanenu, it's not right in front of us, so it's not as mukhrach, it's not as compelling of a rov. It could be that in whatever generation, that in a given generation, rov of the people turn out to be an islandess. So that's what the Gemara assumes is the difference between a Ruba de Isa Kaman and a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. But the Maskana of the Gemara is that the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Meir even on a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. The Chacham are going to follow Rov even when it's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. So Chassam Sofer explains that might mean because there is some advantage that a Ruba de Lesa Kaman has over a Ruba de Isa Kaman. Because a Ruba de Isa Kaman, the Miut is also right in front of us. When you have a Rov of 9 stores in the one store, so the one store is also right here, right in front of us. So the miyut is very evident, as opposed to Ruba de Lesa Kaman. For all we know, the miyut doesn't even exist. So it has a certain advantage and a certain disadvantage. In the end of the day, the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that it pretty much evens out. That the same way the Chacham disagree with Rav Meir by a Ruba de Isa Kaman, they're also going to disagree by a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Rav Elchanan Kovitz Shurim Chelik Beis in the Haaretz on the Shev Shmeitza in Osei writes that Ruba de Isa Kaman works because it's a Gezeres HaKasav that it works. And that's why it works by Mammon as well. Ruba de Lesa Kaman is just a Birur. It's not a Gezeres HaKasav. It just seems that that's clarifies what naturally and normally happens. Okay, that's about the difference between the two types of rope. One other thing over here. Very important comment that Tosfos has in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara over here says, what would be if the girl was an islandess? If the girl was an islandess and you do Yibum on her, it's going to turn out that you're Pogea Be'erva. Right? A man dies and he doesn't have any children and his wife is still very young, she's still a katana, let's say she's still 10 years old, and the brother were to do Yibum on her, it will turn out that that if she turns out to be an islandess, that the brother will be in violation of sleeping with his brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibum, because there's no mitzvah of Yibum an islandess. Fred Tosos asks us a very simple question. Generally speaking, if you are Mekadesh, a woman who's a girl, who's a katana, and then she grows up to turn out to be an islandess, the halacha is it's a kiddushay ta'us. The kiddushin is not a valid kiddushin, because you can say, I had no idea she was going to be an islandess, I never would have married her had I known that she was going to be an islandess. I was planning on having children. You can't start a family with an islandess. So why don't we say, asks Tosos, mimanavshach, this act of Yibum should not be a problem. Because if she does in fact turn out to be an Ilanis, it's not sleeping with an Erva, because then she was never married to my brother in the first place. And if she was never married to my brother, there's no Isser for me to sleep with her. And if it does turn out that, if it turns out that she's not an Ilanis, so good. So then I did the mitzvah of Yibum. So what is this idea that we're afraid that you're going to be Pogea be'erva? So Tosus has two Terutzim, and the Ritva adds a third. Number one, Tosus quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that we must be talking in a very specific case where when the brother married the girl, he specifically said, and I don't care if she's an Ilanis, I'm marrying her anyway. Where he was specifically mochel on the fact that she might be an Ilanis. So in that case, his kiddushin is definitely valid, and if she's an Ilanis, it will turn out that there's no mitzvah yibum, and you're being pogea be'erva. So nimtza pogea be'erva would mean that if she's an Ilanis, then you're definitely violating erva. But then Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Avram Miborgaila, where Rabbi Avram Miborgaila says that if the brother knew while he was alive that the woman that he married was an Ilanis, and he got upset about it, then the Kiddushin is invalid, then the Kiddushin would be invalidated. But if the brother never got to know about it, then we don't know what his reaction would have been. His reaction might have been, I don't care, it's fine, I love her anyway, and I want to stay married to her, in which case the Kiddushin was not a Kiddushin, because the Kiddushin is valid. His reaction might have been, I do care, I'm very upset by this, I never would have married her if I know she's an Ilanis, and then it would be a Kiddushin Tos. But we don't know, we simply don't know. And therefore what we're saying is, if the man sleeps with, does Yibum on an island, on a girl who turns out to be an Ilanis, so we don't know, it might be Pogea Be'erva, because it depends what the brother would have reacted. We have no idea what the brother would have reacted. So it's, when we say Nimtzu Pogen Be'erva, it means Suffolk Pogen Be'erva. That's the second answer it tells us. The Ritva just quotes an entirely different pshat. He says we're totally misunderstanding the term Pogea Be'erva. He says, imagine the following case. We're assuming that this girl that you're doing Yibum on was the only wife of your brother. Let's say your brother was married to two women. He was married to this little girl and also to a regular woman who was an adult and was not an Ilanis, was just a regular, healthy, normal adult girl. And the brother had no children. The brother dies. So you choose to do Yibum on the Ilanis. If you do Yibum on the Ilanis, what's the... So when one of the wives has Yibum, the halacha automatically is that the other wife is allowed to marry whoever she wants. She's free now. Her husband's dead. Yibum was done on her tzara, so she can go and marry whoever she would like. But what if it turns out that you do Yibum on this girl and she becomes and turns out she's an Ilanis? So it'll turn out that your Yibum was an invalid Yibum, because everyone agrees Yibum on an Ilanis is an invalid Yibum. So then it will turn out that the tzara needed Yibum or Chalitza. By her marrying somebody else, that's the problem. She's a Yavama Lashuk. She's marrying somebody else. She's not allowed to marry somebody else. That's where you run into problems, says the Ritva. The issue is that the Isra of Yavama Lashuk is only an Isra Losasei. It's not an Erva. And the Gemara says it's Nimtza Pogea Be'erva. It'll turn out that you're sleeping with an Erva. So the Ritva says that doesn't bother him so much, because maybe because of the case of Katan, when a Katan is Miyabim, a girl, and he turns out to be a Sris, that certainly is an issue of Erva, so maybe that's why we use the terminology Erva, even though by the reverse case of the girl becoming an Ilanis, it's in fact not an Erva. Okay, so again, so far we've had two general approaches to understanding the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yishmael understands that after a certain age, you it's a suffix whether the animal that you bought from a guy has had a child or not, and we don't assume that it's a majority and therefore follow Rov and it's a Vadai. One approach is that Rabbi Yishmael assumes, like Rabbi Meir, that we're choshish lemiyuta, and that's why we don't follow the majority. And the other approach that we rejected was that he's going like the Rabbanan, but even the Rabbanan are only going to follow the majority by Ruba de Ise Kaman, not by Ruba de Leise Kaman. We rejected that approach, though. So now we move on to a third approach. Ravina Amar, two lines from the top, and Chaf Amar Aleph. Ravina Amar, Afilu Teim Rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Yishmael even assumes, like the Rabbanan, that typically speaking, we do follow a majority. Why over here do we consider it a suffix? Because when did the Rabbanan follow majority? That's only when it's not Taloy and a Maisa, when there's no action involved to make that majority happen. It's a majority in just the way things happen by themselves. It's not a majority of what people do or things or actions that are done. But maybe when the Rov is Taloy and a Maisa, when you need to do an action to make that Rov happen, maybe in that situation, even the Rabbanan would be Moda not to follow the Rov. What is the idea over here? The Ramban writes that the din that you don't follow Rov, that's Talei B'maisa, is said only when the Miyut is not Talei B'maisa. Meaning, take for instance our case. What's the case? We're trying to figure out, did the animal have a previous pregnancy? So how does that happen? How does a previous pregnancy happen? It doesn't happen by itself. The animal needs to do something. The animal needs to be mated with another animal in order for it to happen. So even though it's a rove, that rove animals prior to a certain age will become pregnant, but it's only al yedei ha-maisa. It's only if it goes and does something. Whenever it's a rove that's tali in ha-maisa, the rabbanon are not going to follow that rove, because it's not just assuming that the majority is the case. It's assuming that something happened, that action was taken. So we don't follow rove that's tali in ha-maisa. So that's what the Ramban writes. When do we not follow a rove that's tali in ha-maisa? That's when the miyut is not tali in ha-maisa. Meaning, in our case, the miyut is not tali in ha-maisa. What's the miyut? That the animal didn't become pregnant. To not become pregnant, you don't need to do anything. So that's eino tali b'maisa. But let's say the miyut is also tali in ha-maisa, then you would follow even a rove that's tali in ha-maisa, because the rove, the whole reason not to follow the rove is because of the strength of the miyut. But if the miyut is just as weak as if the miyut also requires a maisa, then the Rabban would certainly follow the Rav. That's how the Ramban and the Rashba write. The Rashba and the Ran and Maseches Chulin also write this way in Dafir Alf and Lalf Maseches Chulin. The Ginas Radim adds in another Chiddush that Rabbi Meir, who's Choshish L'miyuta, would be Moda that you don't have to be Choshish L'miyuta when the Miyut is Tali B'maisa and the Rav is not Tali B'maisa, because that's a factor. The fact that something is Tali B'maisa is an additional factor weighing in against that side. So if you have even though Rabbi Meir holds miyut is something that's significant enough we have to worry about, but if you need miyut and the miyut itself is tali b'maisa, that miyut becomes a miyuta d'miyuta, and even Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for a miyuta d'miyuta. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, very clearly in Yerodeh Simon Shin Tes Zayin, Sif Alv, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if a person buys a behema from a guy and he doesn't know if it had previously had a pregnancy, it has a status of a suffik b'chor. You wait till it develops a mum and then you eat it. You do not give it to a kohen because amotzi mechaveru olav haraya. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, that's true whether you buy it within its first year or after its first year. And even if the guy, here's the key line, even if the guy is masiach lefi Tumo shekvar bikra enonemon. Even if the guy who sells it to you tells you as a masiach lefitumo, not knowing that you're trusting him for halacha, he just happens to mention, by the way, brand new animal, never had a baby before. Even so, you don't. I'm sorry, not brand new. He says the other way. He says, and this animal is great. It produces offspring like no other. It had a baby already and produced a beautiful offspring. So even so, you don't trust the guy. So the Shach writes, why not? So you quote that the Atar Zakenim and the Bach explain, because the guy obviously is going to try to tell you that it produces beautiful offspring. He's trying to make a sale, and if he's trying to make a sale, then obviously he's going to lie. The Drisha says, no, if the guy is trying to make a sale and it's clear that he's trying to tell you that the animal is so good that it produces beautiful offspring, I don't need the Shulchan Aruch to tell me not to believe him. That the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't have gone out of its way to tell me not to believe him. Of course you're not going to believe him in that case. Shulchan Aruch must be talking about where he's mamish masiach lefi Tumo, where he really has nothing to gain from it. He's just stam saying something. And he's not trying to, maybe the sale was already made. And he just mentions to you, oh yeah, and by the way, you should know that I felt so bad for this animal because it had a baby and the baby died or something like that. You know, he'll say something that isn't mashbiachid, because it's not saying that it has great offspring. So even in that case, the Shulchan Aruch is saying not to believe him, because even though we sometimes do believe a guy, Masiach Lefitumo, when he's just saying something innocently, that's only on a Dinta Rabbanon. Over here, it's to rely on a Dinta Raisa. We wouldn't rely on a guy even for Masiach Lefitumo. So what's the other side? Why did the Atar Zakenim and the Bach assume that the whole reason we don't believe him is because he's trying to make a sale? Why don't they assume that we wouldn't believe him even if he wasn't trying to make a sale? So it must be that they hold that this whole idea of not following a rove that's tali and maisa is itself only a chumra midrabanan, that it's not a dinda or raisa that we're following the guy for over here. The whole idea that we wouldn't follow a rove that's tali b'maisa is itself only a chumra midrabanan. So that is that seems to be the point of dispute. So Chachma Sadam raises the question: how could we ever be makel by demai with the svara that rov amei aretz are maaser? The rov amei aretz maaser is also a rov that's tali b'maisa. In order to assume that maestros were taken off, obviously an action of taking off maestros would have to be done. Over here, it's a rov tali b'maisa. The Gemara says rov tali b'maisa doesn't work. So he says it must be the fact that we don't follow rov that's tali b'maisa is only a din midrabana, not a din midaraisa. The very essence of demai, the very existence of demai, shows us that it must only be a din drabana and not a din daraisa. And one final point before we go further, the Bach writes in the Tshuva, in Siman Aleph, in the Tshuvas HaYishanos of the Bach, that b'makom she'efshar livdok, when you have the opportunity to check into something and not to rely on the rov, then you shouldn't rely on the rov. He says, for instance, let's say you have a shochet, and you assume he knows what he's doing because he's shechting animals, and rov matzuyin etzel shechita mumchaneim, most of the people who shecht animals know what they're doing, but if you can check him and give him a bechina and see if he knows what he's doing, then you have to check into it. You're not allowed to be somech on the rov. Why? Because it's a rov hatali b'maisa. Why is it a rov hatali b'maisa? Because in order to be an expert in Hilcha Shechita, that doesn't happen by itself. A person's not born an expert in Hilcha Shechita. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of study. So that's why it's a rov hatali b'maisa. You wouldn't simply follow the rov. So that's the question. Is that really called a rov hatali b'maisa? That the rov matzuyin etzel shechita mumchaneim, that to become becoming part of becoming a mumcha is tali b'maisa. But that's prior to the situation that comes up. We're talking about shechting an animal. The shechita itself is the issue over here. But that's what the Bach suggests, that would be called a rov hatali b'maisa. Okay, let's get moving a little further. So says Martan Rabbanan, we have a brisa that basically says the same thing as our Mishnah, but expands a little further, adds a few more details, a few more chilukim, and most of our daf is going to be describing and figuring out what the different shitos in this brisa hold. Eiz bas shnasa vade l'kohen. You buy a goat that's bas shnasa within its first year, definitely that goes, the firstborn animal from that definitely goes to a kohen, because you know it never had offspring before. You could be assured of that. Mikan l'halan, safek. After its first year, so then it's a safek, we're not sure. Rachel bas shtayim vade l'kohen. You buy a Rachel in its first 2 years, definitely the offspring will go to the kohen. Mikan l'halan, safek. Afterwards, it's going to be a safek. Para bas shalosh vade l'kohen. You buy a para within its first 3 years, definitely the first offspring is going to go to a kohen. Mikanu lalan, suffik. Afterwards, it's going to be a suffik. Chamora kipara. And a chamora has the same din as a para. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Domer, chamora bas arba shanim. And a chamora gets an extra year. In the first 4 years, you can assume it never had an offspring before, and the first offspring it has after you buy it will go to a kohen. Adkant of Rabbi Shmuel, that is all a presentation of Rabbi Shmuel's point of view, that prior to a certain age, you assume it's vade l'kohen, it vade never had offspring before, and after that age, it turns into suffik. It doesn't turn into vada, yes, at offspring. It turns into suffik. So, k'shnemru dvarim from Rabbi Shua, when this was said in front of Rabbi Shua, amar lehen, tsu'u imru lo Rabbi Shmuel te'isa. Rabbi Yeshua says, someone better go tell Rabbi Shmuel, he just made a big mistake. This is totally incorrect. If it were true that the only way an animal would not be considered to be subject to Bechor is if it had previously had a viable birth, so then Rabbi Shmuel would be right. You could be certain that there was no viable birth within the first year of the goat, the 2 years of the Rachel, the 3 years of the Parah. Fine, he'd be right if that were the case. But that's not the case. The halacha is, Aval Amru, Simen Avlad Bevehema Daka, Tinuf. Even if the urine just comes out all messy and cloudy, so you can assume that that was an early miscarriage, and that's enough to make it that the next child is not a Bechor. So that could happen very early on in an animal's life. Ubegasa, by a behema gasa shilia, you would need to see some afterbirth. Ubeisha shvir v'shilia, by a woman, by a human being, you would need to see shvir and shilia, the amniotic sac, and also some afterbirth. But va'ani, ein ani omer, so he says, so it can't be that you can make an automatic assumption that prior to these ages that Rabbi Shmuel listed, that the animal never had a baby before. Maybe it never had a viable baby, but if it had some sort of miscarriage, well then definitely if it had some sort of miscarriage, it wouldn't be subject to Bechor anymore, and we have to be choshish for that. Va'ani So he says, I, for my part, ain't yomer kain. I disagree. Ela eiz shetinfa bashisha yoledes betoch shnasa. An eiz, that goat that had a messy urine within its first 6 months of pregnancy, you can assume it's gonna be able to have a baby within the year. Rachel shetinfa bashnasa yoledes betoch shtayim. And a rachel that it happens to that has an aborted pregnancy within a year will be able to have a baby within 2 years. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ani lo basi lidei midazu. I don't get involved in this. I don't agree with this presentation." Ela kol shiyodua shebikra ein kan lekoyin klum. He says it's very simple. The rule is as follows: if you know that the animal previously had a baby, kohen gets nothing. V'kol shelo bikra harezu lekoyin. If you know that the animal did not have a baby, so then the first offspring is definitely going to come to the kohen. Safek, if we're not sure, yochal b'mumo lebailim. You let the bailim eat it once it develops a mum. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't really seem to be teaching any chiddush. He doesn't really define when you know, when you don't know, and when it's a suffix. He just gives us the rule all over again. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the different shitos hold. So what the difference is between all the different shitos that we mentioned. So first the Gemara says, "B'maykam ifli Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Shua." What exactly are Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua disagreeing about? Meaning Rabbi Shmuel says that prior to a certain age, you can be certain that it never had offspring, and therefore the first offspring is going to be a bechor. Rabbi Shua says, nah, it might have had something, it might have had tinuf, it might have had some sort of miscarriage, and therefore you cannot be certain that the first offspring is going to be a bechor. So what are they arguing about? The Gemara is going to have three suggestions what they might be arguing about. Suggestion number one, lema betinuf poter kamifli. Maybe they're arguing if there's dirty urine, whether that in fact is going to take away the status of bechor from any future offspring. Rabbi Shmuel savar tinuf eino poter. Rabbi Shmuel would hold that that's insignificant, doesn't count as a birth, and future offspring are still subject to Bechor. Rabbi Shua suffered tin of poter. Rabbi Shua holds that no, it is considered a birth, and therefore it will take away the status of Bechor from any future offspring. So says Gemara, na, idechazinan tinuf detanif, dekulei amalo pligi detinuf poter. If we saw that it actually had something that looked like a miscarriage, everyone would agree that would be enough to pater future offspring from being a Bechor. That's not the machlokas. What is the machlokas? So here it is, suggestion number two. V'hacha b'choshishin letinuf kamiflugi. Are we choshish that that happened? Meaning, if we knew it happened, of course any future offspring would not be a Bechor. We knew that it had a miscarriage earlier on. Question is, do you make that assumption that that happened, that tinuf actually occurred? Rabbi Shmuel savar ein choshishin letinuf. Rabbi Shmuel says there's no reason to assume so. Rabbi Shua savar choshishin letinuf. And Rabbi Shua holds we are choshish that it did happen. It sounds like Rabbi Yeshua's choshish lemiyuta, that most of the time tinuf doesn't happen, and the animal doesn't have a miscarry offspring early on. And Rabbi Yeshua says, but we're still choshish for it. So Fractisus, wait a second. We say later on that Rabbi Yeshua's shita is that we're not choshish lemiyut. So why is he choshish lemiyut over here? So he says over here it's maybe different. To be kol makom lavi vaday bechor shenitan lekoyin deika cheskas mamona da adifa vamotzi mechaver olof haraya. Over here there's not only a miyut, there's also chazaka over here, because you're dealing with dine mamonis as well. Who has the monetary ownership of this animal? So the bailim is the one that has the chazaka. So even though Rabbi Yeshua in general may not be choshesh lemiyut, over here you take the miyut that maybe it's not really a bechor, plus the cheskas mamon, that the bailim is the one that has the chazaka, you put the two together, and that's strong enough to keep it in the hands of the bailim. So, frek the Gemara, but wait a second. Velo chayish, can you say that Rabbi Yishmael holds we're not choshesh for tinuf? V'ha'ama Rava, didn't Rava teach us? Mechavarta Rabbi Yishmael k'rameir svirlei dechayish lemiyuta. Rabbi Yishmael is choshesh lemiyut. We just said before that Rabbi Yishmael is choshesh lemiyut. That's the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel's Shita in our Mishnah. That was one of the explanations of Rabbi Shmuel's Shita in our Mishnah. The other explanation was that he holds like the Chachamim, that we follow the Rov, but that's only by a Rov that's not Tali B'maisa. But a Rov at Tali B'maisa, he wouldn't follow a Rov. of. But anyway, the Gemara says that, I guess that's it's the same issue over here. Over here, it's Tali B'maisa, where everyone would say to be Choshesh Lemiyot. So we said that Rabbi Yishmael is Choshesh Lemiyot. How can you tell me he's not Choshesh for the Miyot of Tinuf? So answers the Gemara, Ki Chayesh L'chumra, L'kula L'chayesh. To be Choshesh Lemiyot means that generally I really like to follow the Rove, but I'm not going to allow the Rove to teach me a Kula. I'm only going to allow the Rove to teach me a Chumra. So when is he Choshesh Lemiyot? He's Choshesh Lemiyot when the Miyot is a Chumra. But over here, the Miyot would be a Kula, because if you assume like the Miyot that it had some sort of Tinuf earlier on, so now that's a big Kula. The next animal is not going to be a Bechar. He's not going to follow the Miyot in that situation. Or we can say a third possibility in understanding what the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua is all about. Maybe really Rabbi Shmuel's Choshesh Lemiyot, whether it be Lekula, whether it be Lechumra. What are they arguing about over here? V'hacha b'mitanefes v'chozeres v'yoledes p'toch shnasa k'miflugi. Over here, the question is, can the animal have tinuf and then still give birth again within the same year? Does Rabbi Shmuel savor mitanefes eina chozeres v'yoledes p'toch shnasa v'hamida olid v'aday lo tanif? Rabbi Shmuel would say, look, the animal is there's no way it's going to have a tinuf and then still be makabel azachar, become pregnant again and have a baby within that first year. And you buy this animal from a guy all within its first year, and you see that it has a baby under your care. So do you have to assume that that baby is a bechor, or do you assume that, no, maybe there was tinuf before? Well, Rabbi Shmuel says the fact that it's having a baby now is a raya that it obviously didn't have tinuf before. If it had tinuf before, it wouldn't be having a baby right now. It wouldn't be mekabel azachar so fast. It wouldn't mate so quickly. So the fact that it's having a baby is a raya that it was lo tanif, that it never had an earlier miscarriage. That's Rabbi Shmuel's shita. For Rabbi Yeshua Savar, mitanefes chozeres v'yoledes p'toch shnasa. And Rabbi Yeshua says, who says, maybe that's not true. It sounds like a machlokes mitzias. He says, animals sometimes, even if they have a miscarriage, they will be chozer v'molded p'toch shana. They will have a viable baby, again, all within that same year. And therefore, it proves nothing just because it has a baby under your care. So you don't have to assume that the baby that it has is, in fact, a bechor. So that's the fundamental machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua. However, even Rabbi Yeshua seemed to have been broken down into two pieces in the brisa that we quoted. Because first Rabbi Yeshua says that tinuf alone would take away the possibility of future becharus, and then he says va'ani eini omer kein le'ez shetinfa bashisha yoledes p'toch shnasa. He has some other statement of va'ani eini omer kein, which sounds like some sort of svara. So says the Gemara, va'ani eini omer kein le'ez shetinfa bashisha yoledes p'toch shnasa, rachel shetinfa bashnasa yoledes p'toch shtayim. What's the nafkamina between the two statements Rabbi Yeshua makes? His first statement sounds like, I have a Kabbalah that Tinuf is enough to take away any future Bechoros problems. And then he says, Va'ani en Yomer Ken, sounds like he's offering some sort of Svara. Well, the thing is, they sound exactly the same. The Svara and the tradition that he has are both that if there was some sort of miscarriage, then any future offspring is not a Bechor. So what's the difference between the two statements of Rabbi Yeshua? So the Gemara is going to have three suggestions for this as well. Suggestion number one, Shetinfa b'sof shisha v'ika b'nayu d'zi'iri. That the situation is that we saw that it began to be metanef in the beginning of the seventh month, after 6 months. And the nafkamina between the two statements of Rabbi Yeshua is whether he holds like z'iri. What does z'iri say? Da'amar z'iri ain't tinuf pachos mishloshim yom. That after an animal has a miscarriage, it's not going to be makabel zachar for at least 30 more days. So the gamre isle d'zi'iri, based on his tradition that we don't know that it was metanef petoch shisha, so he holds like z'iri l'savre lesle d'zi'iri. But based on his svara, he doesn't hold like z'iri. Even though we see that it didn't have tinuf till after shisha, it's still a suffix that maybe it got pregnant again within 30 days after that. And therefore, that's the difference between the Gemara and the Svara. The Iba Yisema, another possibility of what the difference is, Dukuli Alma Islu D'Zi'iri. Maybe both Gamre and Svare both assume like Z'iri. And over here, the machlokas is whether an animal's pregnancies can be cut short, whether the gestation can be cut short. Do we assume that when, let's say, we say there's a machlokas about this by a woman as well? whether an isha is yoledes the makutayin, right? The Gemara's maskana Maseches Nida is very unusual. The Gemara says that there are two types of pregnancies: there's yoledes l'shiva and yoledes l'tisha. And the Gemara's maskana is that yoledes l'shiva is yoledes the makutayin. When you have a 7-month pregnancy, so that could sometimes be cut short. Sometimes that'll be in the middle of the 7th month. But yoledes l'tisha is any yoledes the makutayin. If it's a 9-month pregnancy, then it's always going to be a full 9 months exactly, and it can never be yoledes the makutayin. No, nothing's ever born in the 9th month. It's always, no baby's ever born in the 9th month. It's always a full 9-month pregnancy. And based on that, the Gemara discusses how Chassidim Arishon were makbid about when to have tashmish with their wives, because they wanted to make sure that they're not mechal Shabbos on the birth, so they would try to time it so that the baby wouldn't come on Shabbos. So all the Rishonim already point out that hachush machish, that that's not the case anymore. We see clearly that that's not the case anymore, that that a woman could have a 9-month pregnancy, and it is So by a woman, we assume nishtana hativim, that the teva changed at some point. It's not so pasha that we say the same thing by an animal. The Rav Yonis Naibshitz writes in the Plesi that the discussion by an animal is not as clearly cut, that it's that we hold differently, that we hold that the teva has changed. So legamri lo amrin yoledes l'mukutayin, l'savri amrin yoledes l'mukutayin. That could be the machlokas, whether the animal is yoledes l'mukutayin or not. V'bay seima, third possibility, what the machlokas is lo aminun yoledes v'hacha, that we don't say yoledes l'mekutain, that for sure it's not yoledes l'mekutain v'hacha b'miktsas hayom kikulo kamiflagi. Over here the machlokas is whether we assume miktsas hayom kikulo l'savrei aminun miktsas hayom kikulo l'gamrei lo aminun miktsas hayom kikulo. What if, meaning, if you assume that it takes 30 days for the animal to be mekabel zachar again, so what happens, or in the 6th month the tinuf is going to matter, right? So what happens if it's on the last day of the 5th month, right, or the last day of the 6th month? How do you determine, is miktsas hayom in the middle of the day, is that as if the entire day has passed, or do we not say miktsa yom kikulo? It's interesting, normally miktsa yom kikulo is only said by a nihug, by something that we do. Person sits shiva, you say miktsa yom kikulo, that the avelus they do on the 7th day is miktsa yom kikulo. Miktsa yom kikulo happening automatically, I'm not sure when we say that. We don't say, that's the kasha that the achronim play with, is why is that we don't say by yontif miktsa yom kikulo? You keep 7 days of Pesach. Why don't we say on the last day, okay, miktsa yom kikulo, so you're done in the morning? No one ever said such a thing, right? We would never say such a thing by, or Shabbos, you know, I want to go drive in the afternoon, miktsa yom kikulo. We never say such a thing. What exactly the chiluk is an interesting discussion, but typically it's rare to find miktsa yom kikulo by something that happens by itself, where it's not a nihug of something that we do, something that we practice. But over here, we do in fact find miktsa yom kikulo just by something that is, even if it's not something that we practice, something that's tali in teva, it's completely based in nature, and we're still willing to say miktsa yom kikulo. Okay, vayter in the Gemara. Am Rabbi Kiva anilo basi l'de midazu el kol shiyudua. Then in the Brisa, so we had Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva seems to reject what was previously said, but then he doesn't really say anything new. He just says that any time that you knew it had a baby previously, well then, in the future, its next baby is not going to be a Bechar. Any time you know it didn't have a baby, the next baby will be a Bechar. And if you're not sure, so it's a suffix. So what exactly did Rabbi Akiva add? What's Rabbi Akiva saying different? Ma'ika bin Rabbi Akiva le Rabbi Yeshua. Right? This whole daf has been about what exactly is the machlokas. First, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua? Then what's the machlokas between the two statements of Rabbi Yeshua, Gamre and Savre, and now what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva? Ma'ika ben Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yeshua. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Mesura, Cholav Poter Ika Benayhu. The machlokas is whether the animal milking is a clear raya that it must have had a baby. If the animal's lactating, if it's giving off milk, is that a raya that it must have had a previous baby, and therefore the next baby is not going to be a Bechor? Rabbi Akiva Savre Cholav Poter. Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, that's as good a raya as any, that if it's lactating, it obviously must have had a baby. Halachacha rov behemos, rov behemos, same cholvos, alim kinyodos. Because majority of the time, an animal is not going to lactate unless it had a baby. So you could follow that simple majority. Rabbi Shua savar ha'ika mi'uta de cholvos af pishen yodos. Rabbi Shua says, yeah, that's the majority of the time, but I'm worried about the mi'ut. Sometimes, let's say it's 95% that an animal is only going to lactate if it had a baby. But what about those 5% that lactate even without having a baby? I'm worried about that. that. So maybe the next baby born will in fact be a Bechor, and the fact that it lactated is not a raya to anything. So frak the Gemara, umi chayish Rabbi Yishua the miyut. Since when is Rabbi Yishua worried about a miyut? Vatanan, haysala chamosa, eina chosheshes, chamosa, eina chosheshes, yatsamaleya chosheshes. Let's say a guy leaves town with his mother-in-law, and we don't know if his mother-in-law had a had another child or not, another brother, right? So this guy is married, right? So he she and her husband go to Medina Siam. The husband dies without any children, and he doesn't have a brother. But the mother-in-law had left town. So as far as we know, the mother-in-law could have had another child. So there might be a brother. If there's a brother, then this woman needs Yibum. But we don't know. We just don't know if he ever... We know that when they left town, there was no brother. But the mother-in-law left town also. So maybe she had another baby. So, Eina Choshesh, we're not Choshesh. Yatza Malaya Choshesh. But if she left town pregnant, the mother-in-law was pregnant when they left town, well then there's a reasonable Choshesh that maybe there was a brother. So Rabbi Shomer, Eina Choshesh. Rabbi Shua says, you don't have to be Choshesh even if she left down pregnant. For I mean, in my time with Rabbi Shua, what's Rabbi Shua svar? Why wouldn't you have to worry that maybe there's a brother? Kasava rov mu'ubros yoldos umiyut mapilos. Because most of the time, let's say 90% of pregnancies end with a baby, 10% end with a miscarriage. Those numbers aren't accurate. I'm just saying, for example, v'kolay yoldos, and even amongst the 90% that end with a baby, mechza zecharim mechza nekevos. Half of those babies are boys, in which case we would have a problem. Half of them are girls, though, in which case we wouldn't have a problem. So 45% chance of a baby boy having been born to this mother-in-law, 55% chance of no baby boy having been born. Either it was a girl or it was a miscarriage. So smoch miyuta demapilus lemechzad in the kevos, vavlu zachar miyuta lemiyuta lo cheshinan. So it turns out that it's only a miyut, and we don't have to worry about such a miyut. So what do you see? Whose shita is that? Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm not worried about a miyut. Yet over here, Rabbi Yeshua is worried about the miyut of animals that lactate before having had a child, without having had a child. So which is it? Is Rabbi Yeshua yes worried about the miyut or not worried about the miyut? Does he concern himself with the miyut or does he not concern himself with the miyut? So says Gemara Ela Epoch, we have to switch around the opinions. Vatanya, and this we see Benichusa, this Vatanya, is that clearly the way to read it is as follows. Chalav poter divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua holds that chalav can be poter. That if the animal had lactated, clearly it had a baby, meaning he's not worried about the miyut of animals that lactate without having a baby. He's not choshesh l'miyut, and that's what we pointed out in Tosfos and on Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh l'miyut. Rabbi Akiva Omer, chalav eino poter. And Rabbi Akiva says, chalav is not going to be poter because Rabbi Akiva is the one that's worried about the miyut. How do we paskin l'alacha? The Rambam, the Ramban, the Rush, all paskin, chalav poter, that if an animal lactates, you can be sure that it had a baby prior to that, and that's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Tazai, and Siv Gimel in Yerodea as well. However, Rabbeinu Tam holds not that way. Rabbeinu Tam holds the halacha chalav is eino poter. It's a whole discussion of why. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit tomorrow. But as Hashem, we'll pick up with the Brisa though tomorrow. Tana Rabbanan. Okay.